This is WHCC in Holland. Time now for Talk the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk the Town number is 395-1450, and our guest this morning is Kathy Blackburn. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Duke. How are you?
Good.
Good.
And you're here to tell us about something this morning, aren't you?
I am. I am here to talk about successful aging, and Travis Williams will be joining us shortly because he is going to be the speaker for our next successful aging program, which will take place on Thursday, August 15, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Christ Memorial Church. The cost is $3, which includes your lunch, and you pay that at the door. And he's going to be talking about restoring the Macatawa watershed, which is a really important topic. And as soon as he joins us, we will get a little bit more into that. But we do have the schedule set up for the rest of the year, and I'd like to give just a little bit of background to everybody about successful aging has been going on for about 8 years now. It was a program that we started 8 years ago because of a program that started within Freedom Village. We're part of Brookdale Senior Living, and there was a program called Optimal Aging that was going on within all of the Brookdale communities nationwide. And we thought that it was a great idea to roll out that program to the greater Holland community. So Freedom Village, along with Holland Hospital and Priority Health, and a couple years ago, Christ Memorial came on board as a partner. We, every month, take a look at a program that will help seniors age successfully. Mm-hmm. And so what we take a look at, there are six keys to optimal aging or successful aging, and those are social, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, purposeful, and physical. And so those are the six things that we base our schedule around, or the kinds of topics that we choose, along with suggestions from all of our attendees. In the last, I would say, 2 years, our lowest number of attendance has been about 160 people. And I think you still took the prize here, Duke, when you spoke for us in May with about 330 people in attendance. And it has just been growing leaps and bounds, and it's been a wonderful opportunity for people to come together, to enjoy lunch, to enjoy socialization, and then also learn about a topic and leave feeling really good and having had a great time and perhaps winning a door prize, because we do door prizes each and every time. And so it's been a really successful program. And especially in the last several years, it has really, really taken hold.
People put it on their calendar now.
They do. They absolutely do. In fact, I get calls for people saying, okay, what are the programs coming up? And we need to know. And they put them in their church bulletin, which is fantastic to be able to let other people know about them. So I wanted to share what the schedule is coming up. Again, Thursday, August 15, Travis will be here in just a few minutes. And we're going to be talking about Seeking Clarity, Restoring the Macatawa Watershed. Then on Thursday, September 19, WZZM meteorologist Joe Kopachek is going to be our speaker, and he is going to talk about the unique weather in West Michigan. He's going to talk about the various types of severe weather we have in the summertime and in the wintertime. He's going to kind of do a video that's going to show around the station, so you get a feel for, they have that weather deck out there. You can, or you're going to get an opportunity to kind of see behind the scenes, which is really kind of fun. And then in October 17, Sarah Armstrong, who is with Priority Health, and she's a phenomenal speaker, she's going to be talking about diabetes and staying one step ahead of it and some ways that you can help yourself to not suffer from the effects of diabetes, whether you have it now or maybe you're pre-diabetic or whatever the situation may be. She will address those issues. And then on Thursday, November 21, the history and hauntings of the Felt Mansion is our topic. And Pat Meyer from the Felt Mansion is going to be there, and she's going to fill us in on all the great and interesting things about the Felt Mansion and what has taken place there over the years, the history of it. So that should be a lot of fun. And then for the, gosh, is it the third, fourth, maybe the third or fourth year in a row, we are going to be having the West Ottawa Vocaliers and the Select Women's Ensemble join us on December 19. We call this one Celebrate the Season Through Music. It's our holiday program where we listen to a wonderful program put on by these choirs. If you haven't heard them before, they're phenomenal. My son is actually in Vocaliers now. My daughter was last year in the Select Women's Ensemble before then, and she's now headed to Hope College this fall, but my son is in Vocaliers. So it's a proud mom moment, too, when you get to see your kids perform and do great things. So that one, we also do a white elephant gift. So typically the third Thursday of every month throughout the year, except for July. And occasionally we have to shift that Thursday, but it is a fun program, only $3 for the lunch. And it's a great time to get together and learn something and have a good time.
And we can say good morning to our guests as well now.
We can. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Great. So this coming program, again, Thursday, August 15, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., again, at Christ Memorial Church, which is located at 595 Grasscup Road, is going to be on a Seeking Clarity, Restoring the Macatawa Watershed. And Travis Williams is Executive Director of the Outdoor Discovery Center, Macatawa Greenway, and he is going to be our speaker. So, Travis, why don't you tell us a little bit about what we're gonna learn next week, Thursday?
Yeah, Project Clarity is a new initiative that the community has put together and is launching. It's something that was started by a bunch of private individuals, led by a couple of our community leaders and Dick and Betsy DeVos and Jim and Donna Brooks. And they helped assemble a group of community members who funded about a two-year research project that was done starting back in 2010 that looked at identifying the source point for the sediment and nutrient loading pollution that is coming into Lake Macatawa from the Macatawa watershed. And that research was wrapped up in 2012, and then the donor group, which had swelled to nearly 70 people now, had requested that we put together a plan for actually remediating or fixing the problems that are plaguing the watershed. So we now have the science from the research component, the phase one piece, that told us where the problem was originating from and what we could do, kind of illustrated to us what we could do to fix it. And then we were able to then assemble a plan that is called Project Clarity. And we are, in assembling that plan, we now can begin to implement fixes that would help clean up the watershed. So.
Well, and the water is so important to all of us. I mean, for Juke, I'm sure, living around this area a good portion of your life, and I've been here for really my whole life in West Michigan. And Lake Macatawa has been... it's very pretty to look at, but mm-hmm. It's not one of those lakes that I've ever wanted to go, take my kids tubing in or go float in. Or it's pretty much been an access way for us to get out to Lake Michigan if we were going to do any sort of boating activities. And that's a shame because it's a beautiful lake and it just hasn't had the cleanliness to it, I guess, shall we say, that is desirable in an area like this.
Yeah, the lake was actually, if you go back in our historical records, you can look back into the early 1800s and you'll see that Lake Macatawa actually, in the early 1900s, I should say, Lake Macatawa was actually a very clean body of water. It was a tremendous lake to go fishing in, had a great fishing reports that were published in the newspapers in the late 1800s and early 1900s. At opening day of catching 500 largemouth bass and, you know, fish that you can't even catch in the lake anymore because of the water quality changes that have happened. But that lake has evolved over time to become, essentially, in layman's terms, a dirty body of water. The real positive of Lake Mac is that there is no industrial or commercial pollution that is in the lake. It's really more of a sediment and nutrient runoff issue. So if we can stop the sediment nutrients from running into the lake, you actually can clean it up. There is a high probability of cleaning that water body back up. Kind of the big piece of information we all can kind of hang our hat on is that Lake Macatawa water has a residence time, meaning that every drop of water in the lake stays in the lake for about 4 to 5 months. So that lake turns over, it washes itself out into Lake Michigan every 4 to 5 months. If we stop what's going into it, it will expel what's in it out into Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. And the waters coming in, if they can be cleaner, you'll begin to see the recovery of that body of water. So it is possible. It's not to be undermined to say it's a simple project or it's one that's going to be easily accomplished. But it is something that we can accomplish. And when we know what the problem is and we know how to go about cleaning it up, it really becomes our responsibility then to do that.
And how much of an area are we looking at?
The watershed is actually 175 square miles, which in a watershed standpoint is a very small watershed. Mm-hmm. When you compare that to the Grand or the Kalamazoo that stretches, you know, halfway across the state of Michigan, we're talking about a watershed that runs from Zeeland Township to Lake Makatawa, and from Port Sheldon, the very south ends of Port Sheldon, to the north sides of, you know, Hamilton. And so it's not a really large watershed. It's one that we can, you know, figuratively put our arms around and begin to get a hold of what's going on. And Holland and Zeeland area, this community has been absolutely phenomenal over the decades of dealing with problems, coming together, embracing each other, working together, government, you know, the private sector working with the public sector to solve problems. And this is another one of those situations. We have the private sector stepped up and has put, you know, over $500,000 into a research project, and has now put almost $1 million into Project Clarity, the restoration project. And when those monies come from the private community, it makes it a whole lot easier for the public sector to get involved as well. And it doesn't put the lion's share of the burden on any one party at that point in time. So we really think that this is a tremendous opportunity and has a high probability of us being able to be successful with it. And we're really excited about the direction we're going.
So there are so many different governmental bodies. I know you just said it's a relatively small area with 175 miles, but there are about 8 different areas, correct? Governmentally that are involved?
Yeah. You have both the counties. So you have Allegan and Ottawa counties involved, and then you have Laketown Township, Fillmore Township, Overijssel Township, Zeeland Township, Blendon, Port Sheldon, Holland Township, Park Township, and then the cities of Holland and Zeeland are all have property or have land which is in the Makatawa watershed. Some of those have very, very small portions of it, like Port Sheldon and Blendon, and then some of them are, you know, entirely in the watershed. So,
well, and I think it's interesting because people typically think of if there is dirty water that it's coming from industrial, and as you've said, you know, that's just not the case here. Yeah. I know we have the power plant there on the lake, but that's not what's causing the problems. And in fact, the areas immediately around Lake Makatawa are causing the least amount of pollution into it, correct?
Well, when you look at the whole research component, I mean, one thing that we need to be real clear on is that, well, two things really. One is, you're correct, the BPW is not the culprit of making the water look like it does. And I hear that all the time. People talk about, they point the finger to that, or they say it's PADNOS's operation down on the lakefront. And that's not true. That's not what's causing Lake Makatawa to look like it looks. A majority of the sediment and nutrient runoff is coming from the outer edges of our watershed in the eastern, kind of the northeast, the southeast sides of the watershed is where most of our problem comes from. There are sub-basins around our watershed, and we've actually done our research and narrowed it down to 8 sub-basins that we've ranked 1 through 8 in terms of the cleanest to the worst, and one being the worst. And the worst one is what's known as Peters Creek, which is out in the Zeeland Township and Overijssel area, kind of southeast of Holland. The second worst is the Upper Mac subbasin, which is the northeastern part of Holland, Zeeland area, actually. And then the third worst is the North Branch, which is also known as the Tulip Intercounty Drain, which runs from, essentially, it runs from Laketown Township to Fillmore Township and into the city of Holland. And then you have Nordlos Creek, which comes out of the Zeeland area. And then the fifth worst is the South Branch, which comes out of the Fillmore Township and Overijssel area. So when you think about those townships, you have those are where the worst sub-basins are. But I also have to say that it doesn't mean that they're the only ones. Everybody contributes to the watershed, and when you do the mathematical calculations on who's loading the most in, those become the highest. But it doesn't mean that the city of Holland or the city of Zeeland or Park Township or Laketown Township is not contributing to the problem. They certainly are. It's just the scale of who's doing what is different. Our goal in ranking those and ordering those was that if we had a donor come to us and say, I'll give you, make a number up, I'll give you $1 million, but you have to spend it where you can get the best bang for your buck.
Sure.
We were never able to do that as a watershed before because we really didn't know where the best spot was to spend that money, where we get the greatest impact. Now, today, I can sit here and talk to you and say that we actually have a project management system we're putting into place that has all the potential projects going into it that we can do in the watershed, and it priority ranks them by their return on the investment that goes into it. And so when we want to start spending money to clean up the watershed, we can pick away at the not the lowest hanging fruit, but the most important priority areas in the watershed that are going to give us the best return. So,
is this farm runoff?
A lot of it is, yes. A significant part of it is farm runoff or it's rural area runoff. This also could come from construction sites, parking lots. It's not just from farm fields. You know, farmers have been doing a pretty good job of trying to change practices over the last decade or more to put in what we call best management practices, but the buffer strips and the water retention systems.
Let me interrupt. We have a call on the line here.
Yep.
I thought we had a call on. Apparently not. Okay.
So yeah, so farmers have been very involved in the process, you know, in this process, Project Clarity, and there certainly is a portion of the problem that is coming from the farm community, and it's one that they're aware of as well, and we know what we need to do to begin to fix that, and it's changing some practices and implementing some good economically sound best management practices to help the farmers still meet their goals. It's still their livelihood, and they need to make money off of their endeavors too. So we're working with several of the farmers on a variety of projects, and the Mac Watershed Project has been very involved in that. They have a pretty significant EPA grant right now that has them working with a bunch of farmers down in the Fillmore Township area on this project. So, but I just again want to reiterate that it doesn't mean that it's just the farmer's problem. We actually have issues with stormwater runoff. That's another major issue. And then we actually, just in the last, since we started the Project Clarity work and finished the research, we've identified numerous stream bank areas that are heavily eroding and actually putting a significant amount of sediment into the system. A majority of those streams that we've identified so far have actually been in Nordelos Creek area, which runs, you know, through the heart of the Zeeland community. And so it is not just a farming issue, but what we can tell you is that most of the problem is originating out in the rural areas of the community. So whether it's stream bank eroding, farm field runoff, or some other surface runoff, you know, parking lots, that kind of thing, that's where most of the problem is coming from.
Now, what I think the big thing is, I heard you speak at a chamber event, and it was tremendously fascinating to me. And I think that for me, as a resident of the Holland area, the greater West Holland Zeeland area, that it is important for us to all understand what's going on, because this project is going to take a couple years, right? Or at least.
Oh, absolutely. This is not, it's a couple things. First of all, there's no silver bullet here. This isn't a quick fix deal. The Project Clarity plan we put together actually is a $12 million plan that is set up to take effect over about a 10-year period. We're hoping to raise the dollars within 5 years and begin implementing the restoration projects, you know, essentially within this next year they'll begin, and would take place over a 10-year period. And that, you know, it took a long time to get Lake Makatawa to look like it looks, and it's not going to fix itself overnight. But there are some things that we can do, and we can do them relatively quickly to begin changing the needle on that. And there's been a few projects we've actually identified. We've had engineering done on them. There's a set of stretch of stream bank in the community about 100 yards long that's eroding about 6 inches of sediment off of one side of the stream bank every year, and engineers have calculated that out to be about 100,000 pounds of sediment eroding from one stream bank section in our community. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, that is a significant amount of sediment washing off into the watershed from one small little area. And if you were to address that, the fix on that project is going to be around $30,000 to $40,000. If you do 50 to 100 of those kind of projects, you can move the needle and begin to reduce the amount of sediment going into the watershed to that 70-80% level. You know, our goal is trying to hit about 70% cleanup on the lake.
Okay. We can take calls, by the way. Our number is 395-1450. And, Kathy, back to you.
Sure. So I think it's important to, I was interested in what you had to say, and we're getting into quite a few details right now, but on next week, Thursday on the 15th, when you do the program, not only are you going to talk about it, but you have a slideshow of pictures of things that you're going to be able to show people, a lot more interesting facts and figures and information for all the people to learn about. And I guess what I thought when we talked to you about doing this program was that, as any residents that live here in this greater Holland area, that, you know, water quality about Lake Mack is not only important for today, but it's important for the future, for our kids and our grandkids, and for the continued economic development and the continued prosperity of our area.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really the driver behind this project is, you know, the people who live on Lake Makatawa or live on one of our tributary river corridors, which we have many that braid out throughout the watershed. Their property values will rise if the water quality is improved, if the stream bank erosion and other issues are dealt with.
And I do have another call here.
Yep.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes. I'm just wondering, with this talk and all that about the watershed and everything else, what impact does the leaching of the metals and stuff from Louis Padnos into the ground and into the lake, what impact does that have on it, and how are we going to clean that up? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
That's a wonderful question. You know, first I got to say I'm not an expert in the leaching of materials off of Padnos' property, but the research that has been done and the water quality testing that has been done has indicated that there really is no issues leaching off or causing any significant problems in Lake Makatawa from that site. So that's kind of the extent of my knowledge on that. You know, is there something that Padnos will have to do to clean the area up, you know, if they were ever to go away someday? Yeah, there's probably things that would have to be done, but I don't think that that's at all a lion's share of any problem that we have
in
the watershed.
Another caller here. Yes, you're on the line. Hello? Hello, you're on line with our guest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What happened to Lake Makatawa? I remember 50 years ago swimming in Lake Makatawa, and it was beautiful. How in 50 years have we come up with this mess?
That is a great question, and that's exactly what our Project Clarity project had looked at. And what's really happened is you have a community that once was covered with wetlands and forest that has now been developed heavily. So think about in the last 50 years, how many subdivisions, how many shopping centers, how many parking lots, how much impact we've put on the water system. Not only do we affect the water when we, say, have runoff coming off farm fields or things going into the system, but you also have effects of building communities, and then when we create storm drains and things, we tend to pipe that water into the different tributaries, and all of that creates an increased load or amount of water moving downstream at any one point in time. And when you take a stream that's supposed to be moving at a moderate rate of flow during a rain event and turn that into an excessive rate of flow because you piped a whole bunch of excess water out of parking lots and subdivisions and things into the system, you're causing the environment, and you're causing the watershed to act in a way that it wasn't necessarily intended to do to begin with. That excessive flow, that increased water creates erosion, creates other problems, and what's essentially happened in the last 40 to 50 years, and I've had numerous people tell me about how 40 or 50 years ago they could see the bottom of the lake off their dock and it was clean.
Right.
The last 40 or 50 years, all of this increased use and development in our community has created this opportunity for our soils and the earth to be eroded off and washed down into the lake. And I don't think any of us would necessarily trade what we have for that. And so I don't want anybody listening to me to think that I'm suggesting we should go back to living in caves and not have homes and parking lots and centers and hospitals. That's not the point at all. But what we need to do is make sure that whenever we are building something and we're flushing our water into the system, that we're doing it in the most environmentally protective way, and then we can sustain the watershed in a better area. So if we can restore back wetlands where appropriate, if we can implement best management practices, if we can work on their storm drain systems. A lot of these projects are things that aren't necessarily new to the community, but they've been projects that folks like the Macatawa Watershed Project have been working on. If we can get all of our municipalities to focus on these things, if we can get homeowners to focus on what they do with their wastewater, runoff water, we can begin to have a change. But again, when you double, triple, quadruple the number of people living in an area and you fully develop that area, farming has become a huge thing. That is a major economy piece in the Ottawa and Allegan County area. And again, we don't want that to go away. But when those kind of economic gains and boons begin to happen in a community, you get more impact on the environment around you. And that makes us have to be more responsible stewards of how we handle the resources.
But, you know, in all reality, there's not that many more people living around Lake Macatawa now than there was 50 years ago.
Yes, but you got to understand that this isn't a Lake Macatawa issue. This is a Macatawa watershed issue. So when you think of the Macatawa watershed, it's a 175 square mile area that, again, reaches from Lake Michigan to Zeeland Township, Eastern Zeeland Township, and from Port Sheldon down to Hamilton. Every drop of water that lands on the ground or is shed off the ground in our watershed in that region all flows into Lake Mac before it exits out into Lake Michigan. That's what defines the watershed. It's that given land area that the water drains to one common point. Our common point is Lake Mac.
I have one more call here coming in. Thank you, sir. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, I think they need to start with the sewer plant, Duke.
I don't know if that's a contributing factor or not.
No, the sewer plant actually is not a major contributing factor, and it is tested and they're regulated, and it actually is well below the phosphate levels that they're allowed to discharge. And as far as water clarity, the water is very clean that leaves the power plant, and that was tested as part of our research piece. So, you know, I can stand here and confidently tell you that that's not really the problem.
Okay, got one more. Yes, you're online. Quick call. Hello? Hello, you're online.
Yeah, good morning. I guess my question is as the county continues to put in all these new drains, or work to put these drains in, such as the Park West drain, my question is, as all this fertilizer runoff from all these lawns and such, as he's saying, because of the lack of the trees anymore for the lake, are we doing any benefit by putting these things in?
Let me let him answer that on the air. Thank you.
Well, the drain systems, I mean, there is benefit to that because it protects people and property. The key is we have to make sure we're putting these drains in an environmentally friendly process. We can't pipe water directly to the lake. It needs to be run through wetlands and more natural features, surface water drains, not pipes, so that it can be filtered and slowed down before it can get down to the lake.
And we're out of time.
Yeah, we want to say if you would like to join us for the next Successful Aging Thursday, August 15, obviously Travis knows a tremendous amount of information. Call me at 820-7482, 820-7482 to make your reservation by next week, Tuesday.